Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. Today, we're going to talk about Israel. That is such a popular topic. And my guest today is my good friend, Barry Siegel. And I interviewed him by phone, he being in Jerusalem, me, of course, being here in Florida. And I was so excited to find out about his ministry, Vision for Israel, which I am supporting. Christian Life Missions, our nonprofit partner, supports. And you're going to want to hear about what God is doing in Israel through the Messianic community, reaching out to help the needs of just the average Jewish person that is really having, a lot of them are having a very hard time, especially with COVID-19 and everything else that's happened. So stay tuned. And then when I come back, I'll start my interview with Barry Siegel.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Barry Siegel, I appreciate you being on my podcast, and I'm really looking forward to hearing you describe to my listeners what you've told me about some of the exciting things happening with Vision for Israel. You're located there in Jerusalem. It's very late at night that we're recording this podcast. I really appreciate you taking your time. So just update me on what's happening in Israel right now and how your ministry is responding.
Well, first of all, shalom. And to everybody that's watching, listening, it really is great to see you. And yes, it's late at night, but the sun never sets over Israel, I suppose, and neither on our work either at Vision for Israel. We've really had an amazing year in terms of what's happened since the outset of the pandemic. The coronavirus plague, as we know, it is sometimes called, has not spared Israel. In fact, I believe it has been something that has been shaking our nation in the political fabric, in the population. People are growing very desperate. People are looking for answers. And so our response as an organization, especially with an emphasis on helping in the natural as well as the spiritual, is to distribute humanitarian aid. I think the greatest example we have is, of course, Yeshua, Jesus, who himself fed the 5,000, but he not only fed them, then he would teach them. And so this year alone, we've probably, as opposed to some that I hear are more under lockdowns, our team at Vision for Israel and the work that we do in distribution to the Jewish and Arab populations, to believers, to unbelievers, to Ethiopian immigrants, to Holocaust survivors, the elderly, people who are poor and needy, victims of terror attacks. Our work has expanded, our team is expanding, and we're distributing deliveries to homes individually because it's not easy for people to get out. Presently, right now, Israel is under a lockdown restriction throughout the country because just in the last 24 hours, we've had another 5,000 diagnosed cases of the coronavirus. And already Prime Minister Netanyahu has warned that the hospital emergency wards are going to probably filled with about 1,600 people in ER. So it's a very serious situation. You know, we have a small population and per capita, Israel is now ranking the highest, if not one of the highest countries for the contagion of coronavirus at this time.
Why do you think that happens? And why this, what do you call it? It's kind of a spike. It kind of died down a while, and now it's bad enough that they've done a lockdown. What in the world caused this? Were like lots of infected people going out and infecting large crowds, or what happened?
I think a lot has to do with cultural, you know, the fabric of different populations. For instance, among the primary Arab towns and cities, especially amongst the Muslim populations. This isn't something culturally adaptable to suddenly stay distant from one another, social distance. There are issues of hygiene, but especially when, whether it be in the Arab population or the Orthodox Jewish population, whenever there's a big wedding, people come and it spreads. And we know from what we know, I'm not a medical doctor, but of course, you know, it's most likely something that's airborne. And the problem is that you have younger people that are going out defying any restrictions. We have also our demonstrators and protesters coming out once a week, and they're allowed to protest and demonstrate in Jerusalem at the in front of the prime minister's residence. But the rest of the population is supposed to be locked down. So it's almost a mirror image of some of the same issues in the United States. But we have particularly a deep-seated problem within the ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods and cities of Israel, like B'nai Brak in Tel Aviv or Mea Shearim, or amongst the Arab Bedouin population in the Negev. And it's sad because, you know, people, they grew up one way, they understand life one way, and suddenly they're told that they can't do certain things. It's just not easy for people to adapt to. So what we found is the best way we can help, and the way we are helping, is we're providing individual food, heavy food baskets that we fill up, we buy from food distributors. And for the Ethiopian Jewish population, we buy special things that they cook with. And then we're also taking financial vouchers that are prepaid debit cards, which we can help subsidize whatever other needs they have. And they can go to a number of stores, at least 30 of them or more. And with some people, we're writing rental checks and all sorts of things like that. Plus, we've donated already 4 ambulances to the country, and one is on its way to Israel. And already we know there's over 18,000 emergency calls on all those ambulances so far.
Well, that's exciting what you're doing. And I just wanted to bring my listeners up to date a little bit. I've known you for a long time, since you were sort of Derek Prince's sidekick, as I recall, a young guy. I think it was maybe before you were married, and then years later, we kind of reconnected in lots of different ways. I had the privilege of visiting your ministry and seeing with my own eyes what was going on. This would have been the late 2000s. And I was just like really impressed with the vision you had, no pun intended, vision for Israel. And we've tried to participate. I remember after one of the wars, this would have been maybe 2006.
Well, the war was in 2006 with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon.
Right. And we were able to raise some money to, and your ministry channeled it to a particular town. I have a very nice plaque on my wall in Hebrew from them thanking Christian Life Missions, which is the nonprofit that we did it through. And there's a translation on the back. And I appreciate it. It's in my office. I could go show you if you were here. And so I've known your ministry. I know the integrity that you have and the good work you're doing, and it's just exploded. And with everything going on in Israel, in fact, Christian Life Missions is right now making a donation to your ministry. And I thought it'd be a good time for you to do a podcast with me to update people. So I know you have a congregation there. You and your wife have a music ministry. You're on television. You're doing all these things, and then you have, and you've built a beautiful new facility, which when I was over there, you were showing me pictures of, you know, projections and renderings.
Now it's a reality.
And now it's a reality. I need to come back over and see it now that it's done. So just kind of walk us through this, because there's so many sincere Christians who love Israel and often don't know how to help. You know, and then sometimes you hear different things about, does the money go to where it's supposed to go and all that. Well, I know with your ministry, I've seen it up close and personal, how you guys operate. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast. And I want to familiarize more people with Vision for Israel. So Let's say that you had a tour of Americans coming through and they came and visited your ministry and you were going to, and they didn't know much about it and you were going to update them. What would you say?
Well, I'd say today is the day for us to get on board with responding to Yeshua's call in Matthew 25, where he talks about the separation between the sheep and the goat nations. And he goes on to say, and I may be quoting these out of sync, but when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I believe in its context, Yeshua, Jesus was talking about his Jewish brethren. And so today, whether to infants, to newborns, or to the Holocaust survivors and the elderly and those with disabilities, Vision for Israel is doing all we can to sow the love of God's compassionate heart into the souls and the lives of the Israeli people, whether they be Jewish or Arab, whether they have faith or they don't have faith. And so today we're working out of probably the largest independent organizational facility in Israel called the Millennium Center, which we built over 4 years' time and started 4 years even before that. And I believe that Christians today, and I'm very thankful for the donations and for Christian Life Missions and for your assistance and support as well, not only in financial giving, but in prayer and in friendship, and occasionally out on the golf course.
I wondered if you were going to mention that.
I'm really thankful that that people today should understand the challenges now. We have a great need. Israel is desperate. And it's not just a desperation because some children are going without food on the table. One out of every four Israelis are nearly in poverty now. About one out of every three children. The unemployment statistics dropped down to 21% from about 30%, but now they're spiking upwards as well with the lockdown. Tourism has been shattered and decimated, which has affected tens of thousands of jobs. This is a chance for the church out there, for Christians and Jews everywhere, to get on board, to become hands-on, as is written in Job 29, one of my favorite scriptures, and I'll try and read this and look at you at the same time. But Job said, when the ear heard, it called blessed. And when the eye saw, it gave witness of me, because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper. The blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. And I think we can join together and network together. People can look at our website at visionforisrael.com. They can see us at YouTube and whatever else. Not just our music, not just the travel program, but especially a hands-on work that we can be the hands and the legs for people to touch the hearts and the lives of many people watching and hearing this today. And I believe that in doing so, we're reflecting God's love. And right now, that's what people in Israel need to understand, that there is a God, that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is alive, and he loves them, and he's a redeemer. And it's not just a spiritual expression, but it's proven with work, because God's word says faith without works is dead. And so we believe in being very hands-on. And Steve, you know us extremely well. We are extremely hands-on. And even though there's a lockdown right now in Israel, we're going to show up to work tomorrow morning. We have documents and papers that allow us to work freely as essential workers, helping the people of Israel. And we just want to be good stewards of what God's people have and would love to invest in the future of Israel and the lives of the people here, because there's an eternal issue at stake here. And we know that prophetically, and we know that visibly before us. So we're extremely thankful for your support and Christian Life Missions and for the prayers of people. And, you know, we saw what was going on in Washington, D.C. And, you know, I can just say this, kind of capping it off, that Israel is America's best friend in the Middle East. And America is Israel's best friend, the United States of America. So we want to keep it that way. And we're praying for the elections and believing God for a wonderful outpouring of his Holy Spirit on the land of Israel, which would be a tremendous answer to all our prayers.
Amen. And that's so well said. And I want people to connect with you. And if someone writes down so they know how to Google you, the nice thing about a podcast is you can stop it and back it up if you miss it. But it's Barry D. Siegel, and Siegel is spelled S-I-E-G-A-L. And his ministry is Vision for Israel. And why don't you tell them an address? I know you have New York, United States headquarters.
Right.
Also, just describe some of the things that they could find on YouTube if they go looking.
Okay, so definitely. Anybody out there can write us at info@visionforisrael.com. And of course, we have a toll-free number in the United States because we have a USA branch office, 1-866-351-0075. That's 1-866-351-0075. We also have a prayer and news app that's for free that people can download. Called VFI News, V as in victory or vision, VFI News. And we have a YouTube site, Vision for Israel. And if people want to hear more of our music, they can go to our YouTube site, Barry Ambatia Siegel, spelled S-E-G-A-L. And it'd be great to hear from folks at info@visionforisrael.com. I'll get an email from whoever writes, and we can respond with any answers or any questions people may have or what's on their heart, or even if someone wants to just share a prayer and an encouraging word for our staff, we'll do so.
Well, I'm glad you corrected the spelling. I was actually reading it, which means in my contacts it's wrong. So here I am, an editor who misspelled your name. I apologize for that. I hate it when people misspell my name. So say it again so people can get it right.
So, my name is Barry Siegel, B-A-R-R-Y, last name S-E-G-A-L. And people can write to me, Dear Barry, it's good enough. We do have a congregational meeting now online that's through Zoom called the Moriah Gathering once a month. But we're just blessed and privileged to be here in Israel. And we were just watching actually a Derek Prince video teaching today. We miss him. You know, he passed away about 15 years ago, but we were very close to him. I moved to Israel, in fact, Steve, with Derek in 1981, in the summer of 1981 with Derek and Ruth Prince. I moved here, but I have known him. I knew him ever since I came to faith, shortly after I came to faith in 1971. I met him and I actually went on the road with him maybe about 6 months after I met him. And that was the beginning of about a 30-year relationship, which brought me to Israel. And also as a Jewish believing person in Yeshua the Messiah, I also understood that Jerusalem, Israel is my home and there's no place like home. And so I made Aliyah in 1981 and I've been here ever since. My wife Bati and I have three children. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're all serving the Lord. And we just are privileged to be part of God's end time purposes here in Israel and to be able to be stewards for the body of Christ at large, to do something to bless the people of Israel and not just pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which is important to do, as it says in Psalm 122, verse 6, but to work for the peace of Jerusalem as well.
Well, I had so much respect for Derek Prince. In fact, I published his biography after he passed away and interacted with him many times, but nothing like you did, of course. And I'll just mention that something that meant so much to me personally was when you took me to his grave in Jerusalem. Very seldom have I made it a point to visit someone's grave. I did go back to Jamie Buckingham's grave a couple of times.
I remember.
Of course, he meant a lot to me too, but it was just very interesting. And we've had so many life experiences and you've humiliated me on the golf course more than once. And I just really appreciate the friendship And I so appreciate what you're doing in Israel. It's just, it is so important. And that's why I wanted to do my part to make people know about your ministry and get out the word. And I hope that people will respond, especially as your ministry is dealing with this pandemic and trying to help people in Israel. So with that, we'll wrap up this podcast, which we're recording so Barry can put online, but it's going to be, of course, on the Charisma Podcast Network. My podcasts have just passed 4.4 million this year.
Bravo.
I know this podcast will put it over the top for 5 million. So thank you for listening. Share it with others. If you know people who have a heart for Israel, just email them the link or share it in some way. I'll be doing an article about it, of course, on charismanews.com. I'm glad to find out about the app. I didn't know about it. I'm going to download that app. I want to keep up with what's going on over there in Israel. So thank you for listening to the Strang Report today. It's the podcast that inspires you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Amen. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.